Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
You're listening to the Bible Study Evangelista Show, Bible Study Spirits That Taste Like Cake.
Did you know you can get Bible Study Evangelista radio notes and podcasts delivered to your inbox every Monday morning? Redeem your Mondays. Join thousands of your fellow listeners by subscribing at BibleStudyEvangelista.com. Sonia created the Love the Word Bible Study Method just for you, based on Mary's personal practice and formulated for your personality and temperament. Get your Love the Word meditations every Monday morning by signing up at BibleStudyEvangelista.com. If you like having Bible study in your pocket and you have an iPhone or iPad, why not leave a review? Search Bible Study Evangelista in iTunes and tell everyone how you're loving and lifting all you've been given. Here's Sonia.
Well, this is it. We have one more show after this in the Catholic TV Anger series, and we'll be wrapping that up this week. I'm going to send you two shows again this week. And then we're going to begin our 2020 Vision, Then Sings My Soul series. It'll be 4 weeks. We're talking about proper priorities throughout the year 2020. How do we make Jesus the focus of our lives, and how do we prioritize all the other things that we have to do? So we're going to look at that in our new series, and then we'll look at the servant songs for Lent. The servant songs are in Isaiah's prophecies, and those are probably the scriptures that both Jesus and Our Lady, well, and Joseph too, well, and everybody in Judaism who was looking for the Messiah, they would have known those scriptures. And of course, Jesus and Our Lady both understood, and Joseph as well, I'm sure, that those applied directly to Jesus. And I can't wait to get into those, especially. They're going to be, well, I won't give it away, but that's our series after our 2020 Vision series, Then Sings My Soul. I'd like also to take a moment and shout out my newest friends of the show, Keith B., Leslie A., Gail R., Elizabeth M., Rosemary K. Thank you so much for loving and lifting me. I can report good news on the website front. I have had nothing but struggles with this thing for about a year, and I finally think I have figured out what has been going on. And it just so happens that I was getting very, very close to the limit on the memory. The site had gotten so big, and so I had to figure that out, first of all, what the issue was, and then secondly, I had to figure out how to fix it, how to get in. And of course, you know, anybody who knows anything about programming, you worry yourself to death about changing anything in the style sheets and the PHP files and all that. But anyway, I experimented with it and I figured it out, and I was able to change it and double the size. So we're raring to go for the new year. I'm very, very glad to have that out of the way, although I did experience some email problems, which actually weren't mine. Our local phone company, the server went down, if you can believe that, for over, it was more than 24 hours. It was almost 36 hours that I didn't have email. And so some of you tried to email me and you got some weird message about me being out of the country until April. That was an old automatic response or a reply for email back when I, last year, when I went to the Holy Land, and everything was so messed up on the server. It was actually our phone company through whom or through which we get our internet they're our internet provider. So anyway, their server went down. I couldn't believe that they made us wait that long, 36 hours. So I couldn't work all day. I was barely able, if it hadn't been for Mary Catherine, my admin, I don't think I would have been able to get anything done, because we were at least able to text one another so we could take care of a few little things that you guys had questions about. So I want to also mention one more time, Standing in the Word. Well, not one more time. I'll probably mention it for a while, just because they're selling out really quickly now. We've turned the corner on the new year, and the tickets are going quickly. So the VIP reception is completely sold out, but there are tickets left for Standing in the Word, our weekend event. It's a retreat, and we're going to be at the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament in Hanceville, Alabama. If you've never been there, this is the location where Mother Angelica began EWTN. And her sisters are there, and the shrine, it's just an absolutely beautiful place. It's out in the middle of nowhere, like in a horse pasture in Alabama. So if you're anywhere near, or if you can get there, do so. I'm gonna give five talks, and then I have several other speakers that are going to be available for different kinds of breakouts. We'll be talking about singleness, we'll be talking about grief, we'll be talking about, well, there's just lots and lots of subjects, and I'll give you those as we get a little closer. We have daily mass and adoration and confession. All of those three will be available Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning. Then all of our meals are going to be hot sit-down meals. This is not going to be the typical chicken salad and that kind of thing, ham and turkey. So I don't know about you guys, but I have that a lot. So anyway, hot sit-down meals. We're going to do a praise and worship time. We have a beautiful classical liturgical choir coming. You should hear them. I mean, unreal. There'll be a prayer meeting. We're going to do that VIP social time on Friday and with me and the team. And then there's this wonderful gift shop. I spent so much money in that gift shop the last time I was there. So all of this is to equip you to stand more firmly in the Word. So come and join us. And now, with no further ado, here's the show.
Welcome to Evangelista Bible Study. I'm Sonia Corbett, your Bible study evangelista, and we're about to wrap up our series on anger and how God deals with anger. I entitled this episode, Taming the Monster Within, and I did so because God always wants to help us work through our anger so that we can discern whether or not it is good. And I say that because not all anger is bad. According to St. John Chrysostom and even Gregory of Nyssa, St. John Chrysostom says that not all anger is bad. He says that he who is not angry when he has cause to be sins, because excessive patience is the hotbed of many vices, and it fosters negligence, and it causes even the good man to sin, to do wrong. And so how do we tell the difference? Well, the only way sometimes that we can truly tell the difference is to talk to God about it. And we saw specifically that's the point of the whole series, has been that God speaks to us about our anger in His Word. And because I had a father wound, and because I was so rebellious and angry, I didn't know that the root of that anger was woundedness until God showed me that. And the way He showed me was through these people, the same people that we've looked at, the ones who He confronted in the Scriptures. And so He uses His Word to speak to us about our relationships and our circumstances. We talked a little bit about love the Word, listening, observing, verbalizing, and trusting. We talked about that being Mary's own method throughout the Annunciation. So we know how to do it on a daily basis. And we spoke also about using the readings every day and being in the readings every day just with the gospel. I mean, it takes 5 minutes. Everybody has 5 minutes to do this every day. And even if that's the only thing you read, the gospel, it gives God the opportunity to use His Word to help you with your own relationships and circumstances. I mean, we make a mess out of our relationships and circumstances because we don't know God's ways. And so He teaches us His ways, and in so doing, we learn to follow Him better. But more than that, we learn to love Him better and love Him more. And when we do that, we experience more of Him. And it's a faith to faith, the Bible says, precept on precept, line upon line. And so that opportunity in the Scriptures every day gives God the ability to speak to us about what's going on with us. And for me, in the very beginning, that was the very first thing He confronted, because He knew where the root of it was. And it was a long, long journey. But I can tell you that I don't get provoked now the way I used to. I don't have that father wound the way I used to have it. And now, even though I still get angry, but I don't get irrationally angry. I don't have these eruptions of rage toward other people, that sinful rage. So He always confronts us and helps us to work through our anger if we allow Him to. And specifically, He does that through His Word. And so I want to recap the people now and also the questions that God asked them. And we started with Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. And he says to Cain, "Cain, why are you angry?" Now, these are questions that God asks us, not because he doesn't know the answer, but because he is trying to draw out of us our own reasoning so that he can correct it where it needs to be corrected. And in so doing, I had this professor a while back, a religion professor, who told us that situation plus perspective equals behavior. So S plus P equals B. Situation plus perspective equals behavior. And the reason that that's important is because the situation won't change. But if your perspective on it changes, then your behavior changes. And that's what he's after. He's not correcting us because we're in trouble or because he's punishing us. He's correcting us so that our behavior can change, because the behavior is what's so destructive. We saw Esau self-medicating. We saw people raging and murdering each other. We saw depression. We saw all kinds of things through these people. And so the first question he asks us then is through Cain, why are you angry? And as I said, it's not because he didn't know the answer. It's because he wants to get Cain's perspective so that he can correct Cain's perspective. And he did. He said, "Cain, if you don't get a handle on this, it's crouching. Sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is to sift you or to devour you," it says. And so we don't want our anger to devour us because it's devoured everybody around us. Now, I grew up that way. I grew up in an angry household. My mother was, thank God I had my mother, because she was really so, she was the anchor for me. And had I not had her, I probably would have been crazy. But my dad was so aggressively angry, it was very, very hard to not be afraid. So, as I said, he started right there, "Why are you angry?" I thought I was angry for one reason, but it turns out I had some woundedness I had to deal with. But he asks us, and he asked me that, because he did not want me to devour my family, because in doing so, as my dad did, it caused us to separate from him. And in so doing, it's really devoured him. So there's our first question. Cain, why are you angry? Esau, Genesis 27. Is he not rightly named Jacob? Jacob was a deceiver. It meant supplanter. So he was a cheater. And so God confronts Jacob's cheating. And then Moses, Exodus 2, 14, who made you a prince and a judge? And so there the question is, who do you think you are? And Moses thought he was the one who would draw out the people. And he actually was, but he was trying to force the issue instead of waiting on God to put him in place. And then there's Balaam, Numbers 22, what have I done to you? How do we act when those circumstances that we didn't count on, or those strange things that pop up that thwart us, how do we act then? Do we throw a temper tantrum? Do we beat our animals? Do we honk the horn? Do we cuss? So Balaam is confronted with that question. What have I done to you? The donkey said. And then Haman in Esther chapter 7, what is your request? Esther was asked, what is your request? In fact, James tells us that we have not because we ask not. And a lot of times we get in trouble because we don't ask God for what we need or want. Instead, we get angry because we think we don't have it. And a lot of times he allows that because we haven't asked. And it's not that he's wanting to hold us under his thumb. He's trying to build a relationship with us. And so we should ask for what we need and for what we want. And I use the example of the piano that I asked for and he sent it. So what is your request? He said, Elijah. In 1 Kings 19, what are you doing here? He asked him twice. Elijah suffered from a clinical depression. It was severe. And God wanted him to verbalize, why are you here? What's really wrong? And what happened is exactly what has happened with each of those people, that Elijah was verbalizing not because God didn't know, but because God knows that we need to verbalize in order to get the emotion out. And then Saul, 1 Samuel 15, why did you not obey? What happens when we obey partially or disobey completely is we get angry at the consequences, and we get angry because little things pile up and then they lead to bigger things. And when that happens, we get angry. We get angry with ourselves and even with God, and sometimes other people through whom the consequences come. And then David, 2 Samuel, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? David committed some terrible, terrible sins, And in the end, it destroyed every relationship he had, and things were never, never the same again, even though he was forgiven. And that was the hopeful ending of David's story, is that we can be forgiven no matter what, and that God does not remove his spirit from us. In Jonah 4:4, is it right for you to be angry? How many times God used that on me? Is it right for you to be angry? And I would say, yes, it is right. It is right. And he would say, now, you know, and he would make me verbalize, and then I would verbalize, and then it was fine, right? And then the prodigal's brother, Luke 15, the father says, won't you just come to the party? So we don't have to resent those who receive blessing from God when they have returned. And we don't have to resent our own service and our own duties. We just need to ask for what we need. Everything is ours, he says. And so we just need to ask. That's all he wants. Won't you just come to the party? There's a party going on and we're invited. But if we're stubborn, we won't even think about it. And then Judas in Luke 22, are you betraying me? Ooh. That's a tough one. And Judas was socially and politically active, and he was a zealot for that, and he could see nothing else. And when Jesus did not get with his program and his agenda, and he didn't do what Judas thought he should have done, Judas went off the deep end. So we have to be careful of our social justice crusades and our political activism and that kind of thing, that it doesn't make other people enemies of ours and we end up destroying them and ourselves in the process, because Judas actually went on to commit suicide. So we have to deal with disillusionment. We have to allow it, because God uses it for our good. And then Acts 9, Paul, he says, why are you persecuting me? And Saul was also a zealot, a religious zealot, and that caused him to be murderous as well. And it caused him also to miss God's will in Christ until Jesus confronted him with that question, why are you persecuting me? So if we are cherishing anger and we are cherishing unforgiveness and we're cherishing revenge, thoughts of revenge, we're in sinful anger. And Jesus says, if you have a thought of revenge against a brother or a sister, you're persecuting me. And so he confronts us. Now, when God really began to start dealing with my own anger issues and that woundedness, he led me to Psalm 4:4, which says, be angry and sin not. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in God. And what I learned there is a handy little acronym, STOP. Don't erupt. Don't vomit is what I call it, because that's another verse that he used on me was in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 11, which says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. And then right on the heels of that was Psalm 4:4, STOP, sin not, tell God, offer the right sacrifice, and put your trust in God. Don't sin. Stop with the sin. This works for any sin, any vomit, whatever your predominant fault is. Sin not, tell God, offer the right sacrifice, and then put your trust in God. What's the right sacrifice? Well, you're not going to know if you're not in His Word with Him on a daily basis. And P, put your trust in God. After He's given you what the right sacrifice is, trust Him with the outcome. That happened to me several times with my husband, you know, and I got control of my anger, but then it carried over into other things. And then God would say, no, don't, now that you've stopped the sin, offer me the right sacrifice. And I had to get with Him to find out what that was. And then once I did it, I had to trust that He would take care of the rest. So STOP, stop. So we looked at Psalm 4:4 as the basis for stop. Sin not, tell God, offer the right sacrifice, and put your trust in God. And so what we see there is that we can be angry without sinning. That was a whole new idea for me. I had no idea. And in fact, Thomas Aquinas says something similar. He says that the lack of the passion of anger is a vice, because a man who truly and forcefully rejects evil will be angry at it. The lack of anger makes the movement of the will against evil lacking or weak. And so we have to really discern with God if it's sinful anger or if it's not. And only God can really help us with that sometimes, because we don't always know. We think it's righteous. Everyone in our list thought that his anger was righteous, but it wasn't. And that's why I'm doing the series, so that we can discern our own anger and the roots of it, and find out if it's righteous or not. And if it's not, that we can go to confession and confess it and be done with it and find the root of it with God. So James, how do we do that? James 1:5 says that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and it will be given to all men generously and without reproach. That's a huge promise. Why? Because wisdom is not like this, it's not like that. Wisdom in the Bible is God's perspective. Remember, situation plus perspective equals behavior. So if our situation is going to stay the same, we have to have the right perspective in order to behave properly. And that's what Elijah was actually being at. That's what everyone, all of these questions were designed to get people to verbalize their perspective so that God could give them the proper perspective that would help their behavior be righteous. So the promise is that if you need that perspective, all you have to do is ask. In fact, the Bible has quite a lot to say about anger. It says in James 1, 19 and 20, and he talks about it a lot in the book of James. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That's why we really have to know God's perspective on our anger. Because the thing that we're trying to achieve by being angry is not going to happen. It's not going to be righteous anyway. And a righteous end to anger can only be accomplished with God's perspective. And so we need to know what that is. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Because, and here's why, we don't know, first of all, if our anger is righteous or not. And secondly, we don't know where the roots are. And sometimes the root is what makes it sinful. But then also, Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It's his glory to overlook an offense. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be a doormat, but it does mean that we have to know when it's right to speak and when it's not. And I shared my own story about a lack of charity and how God just said, you just need to grow up in charity, Sonia, and quit being so sensitive. And I was like, all right, Lord, well, I mean, he can say that to me because he's God. but that would have been something I couldn't have heard from anybody else. That's why it's important to be in the scriptures on a daily basis. And then Proverbs 14:17 says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. We all know that's true. And boy, my whole life was a series of foolish events because of my quick temper. Emails that I flashed off in a second and then wished the very next day I could take back. Oh, how many times I've done that. I have learned to sit on an email for an entire 24 hours before sending it. Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. They keep strife going all the time. You know those people, the drama people. And they can be men and women. We don't want to be stirring up that dissension. In fact, that's a mark of satanic influence, is this constant dissension between people. Then Proverbs 19:19 says, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. And we know that angry people pay a very high price for their anger in their health, in their mental health and emotional health, in their relationships. Everything suffers when we are hot-tempered and when we're, even if we're not so much hot-tempered, but we have this underlying mood of anger. When we're angry people, we definitely pay the penalty. And that's almost a promise that we will. And we know that Wisdom 11:16 says that we are punished through the very thing in which we sin. And so as we sin in anger, we're punished through that. And we don't want that. I don't want that for you. And then it says in Romans 12:19, if our anger is geared towards seeking revenge, it is definitely sinful. So there's sudden anger, which we have to control. We have to learn how to control it. And that means we can't act aggressively, but we can't be passive about it either. We can't stuff it because that causes depression. And then there's sinful anger, and that has to be completely condemned. And then there's stubborn anger, and that has to be conquered. So stubborn anger usually comes from a root of unforgiveness. And we've seen throughout the series that Jesus tells us that unforgiveness causes our own sin to not be forgiven. So we could be in danger of hell if we don't get our anger under control. And in fact, Aquinas' commentary on John, the Gospel of John, is relevant to both anger and forgiveness. He says, He's commenting on the passage in which Jesus tells us to offer the other cheek. And this is so interesting because a lot of times people think that if they don't express their anger, they're going to be a doormat. But actually, he says, Aquinas, Holy Scripture must be understood in the light of what Christ and the other saints have practiced. Christ did not offer the other cheek, nor Paul either, Aquinas says. So to interpret the injunction of the Sermon on the Mount literally is to misunderstand it. This injunction signifies rather the readiness of the soul to bear, if it is necessary, such things and worse, without bitterness against the attacker. And that's where we really get in trouble. And then he says, this readiness our Lord showed when he gave up his body to be crucified. That response of the Lord was useful, therefore, for our instruction. And Gregory the Great said, reason opposes evil the more effectively when anger ministers at her side. So, again, it's not that anger in itself is sinful. It's how we behave out of that anger and whether or not it's actually righteous anger. And that's not something we can know unless we're actually spending that time with God in the Scriptures. James, again, in chapter 4, says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet because you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. Yet you do not have because you do not ask, he says. So we need to get in the habit of asking for what we need and even what we want. But we can't get angry if God doesn't answer the way we want, as Judas shows us. We also can't get angry if he doesn't answer or he doesn't seem to answer at all, because sometimes that is the answer, is a non-answer. So what we're really trying to achieve, what the Holy Spirit is really trying to achieve, is peace, because he says to us, my peace I give you, my peace I leave you. He wants us to be at peace. That's what actually the word shalom in the Old Testament means, peace, and it means also sanctification. It's a full word. It's a thorough word, meaning it's emotional peace, mental peace, circumstantial peace, relationship peace. God wants us to be at peace even when the circumstances are really crappy. And that can happen if we go to him on a regular basis about how we're feeling and what is happening. He says, that peace I leave you, my peace I give you, I do not give you peace as the world gives it, which means just to give it and to take it away. Instead, the peace that God gives stretches all the way into eternity. And here's the promise of this series. We can get control of our anger. We can get control of passive anger that is underneath depression. God wants to teach us how to work through those predominant faults and how to work through that woundedness that sometimes lies underneath the fear and the hurt that lies underneath anger, especially violent anger, especially stubborn anger. And that's been the promise of this series. I thank you for joining me, and we'll see you again next time. Until then, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.
If you love having Bible study in your pocket, you can become a friend of the show. Click on the yellow friend of the show button on BibleStudyEvangelista.com and become a supporter of any amount and any frequency. Now, here's Sonia.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Study Evangelista Show. Find out more at BibleStudyEvangelista.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.